ain't the kind who wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we have Devin back.
Hey, how's it going? I'm back.
All right, so I'm going to start this off real quick. Devin, my mom wanted me to ask you, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was great. Good. Better than I thought it was going to be.
She did miss you last week. But she did say Rob was a very funny guy. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, Rob's not friends with my mom on Facebook like you are.
But he's no Devin. That's what I heard.
I'm pretty sure that's what my mom was trying to imply.
when he's no Devin.
Yeah. All right. So your Thanksgiving was good.
Sold. Yeah.
All right, I know you did some cooking for your Thanksgiving.
I did do some cooking for my Thanksgiving.
What was the best thing you cooked personally for your Thanksgiving?
Personally, the best thing I cooked was probably the mac and cheese.
I know me, you, and Avalos had a conversation about your mac and cheese.
We did.
True statement. I want to clear the air here for a moment, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, I'm sure. Now, I remember Avalos mentioning, you know, he likes certain mac and cheeses, like the homemade mac and cheese and stuff. Don't get me wrong. I really like my dad makes a kick-ass mac and cheese, and he'll like sometimes put like chunks of sausage in with it, and he'll put some crumpled up Ritz crackers on the top of it. Right, it's pretty good. I personally, I'm just a fan of your general Kraft mac and cheese, like out of a box. Does that make me a bad person?
No, nothing wrong with that.
All right, I feel like I'm letting down the mac and cheese connoisseurs out there, just because I like the Kraft mac and cheese in a box. So
nothing wrong with that.
So to get another thing out of the way, I did want to touch upon. I want to thank everybody who did know about this and gave their support. Last week, we had to bring my dad into the ER. He was having some complications. And then he was in ICU for about a week. Through the Thanksgiving holiday and over the weekend. And I had gone in and saw him. And thankfully, my sister Sheila had come up from, I believe she lives in Rhode Island. And she's pretty much has stayed at the hospital with my dad, 24/7. And it was a little touch and go there, and he had everybody worried, but he has gotten drastically better, to the point where today he was discharged from the hospital. And he is being brought over to a physical therapy rehab center to help build up his strength and stamina again. He was still having, you know, a little bit, you know, lying in a bed for a week and, you know, whatnot. It's going to take a lot out of you. So he's got a couple weeks that he's got to do that for, and then he should be okay to come home again. So, but I want to say thank you to everybody who showed your support. And for those of you who didn't know about this, I you know,
now you do.
So yeah, thank you all, and thank you, Devin. You were there pretty much every step of the way for me, and we're definitely sending messages back and forth. And the other day, when my dad, he got moved out of the ICU and he was put up onto the fifth floor, And he was doing much better. He was sitting up. He was eating. He had his sense of humor back and everything. And one of the first things he told me is, he says, "You tell my buddy Damascus, I'm kicking it." So he wanted me to tell you that he's whooping whatever this was. He's whooping it in the ass. And he's fighting through it.
Damn straight he is.
So, all right. So you, before we get onto this week's episode, you just recently got Halo on Steam, which, I mean, that's kind of a big deal because they've never really been released on PC. Now I was a pretty big Halo 3 fan on Xbox, and now what exactly is this Halo that got released on Steam or whatnot?
So it's the officially it's the Master Chief Collection, which was all the Halos from 1 through 4. Okay. They added in Halo Reach, and the way they're releasing them is they're releasing them in story chronological order.
All right, so you started off with Halo 1, essentially?
No, Halo Reach, because Halo Reach actually is a prequel to Halo 1.
Oh, okay.
So they're releasing them, and that's ironically just the one that came out between 3 and 4.
Okay.
So that just worked out for them. But, or no. Did Halo Reach come after 4? I'm trying to think. I can't remember. But yeah, one of the two. Halo Reach is the last one Bungie did.
I think it came out right after 3.
Yeah, it was 3, Reach. I think it was 3, Reach 4. I think that's what it was. Yeah. And then 3, Reach 4, then 5. But no, fuck Halo 5. We're not talking about Halo 5. But yeah. So they released Reach, which Reach is coming out, came out December 3rd. Halo, in between now and sometime in 2020, they're going to release all of the ones. So like Reach is only $9.99.
Okay.
On Steam. You can get it for $9.99, or you can buy the whole collection and get all the games, like pre-order all the games for $40. So that's what I just did. I went in and pre-ordered all the games for $40 because they're actually HD remastering all the games.
Okay.
So like Reach is now like it's 4K. If you want to play it up in 4K, it's still like you could tell it's still like an upscaled game. So it's still like a little not as crisp as like a AAA title today would be.
Right.
But it looks really good. And you know, in comparison, it looks really good. And yeah, no, I'm loving the hell out of it. That's gonna be definitely gonna be seeing me streaming more of that. If work wasn't trying to kill me this week and the stream wasn't coming up on the weekend here, I would probably be streaming this every day.
Okay. Now look, I gotta ask this. What is your favorite Halo?
Reach.
Reach was? Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Halo 3 is really good. Halo 3 is really, really good. Halo 4 is all right. Halo 2, I fell in love with. Just with how, you know, they brought in that's where they brought in dual wielding, and it was really fun. That was like a fun, like, I grew up playing all the Halos, but the one like I grew up playing with my friends the most was Halo 2.
Okay.
So, and then we rolled in the Halo 3, rolled in the Reach, but Reach for me was the one where I actually started to get good, in Halo. Like, I actually started to like I played local tournaments in Halo Reach. Things like that. Like, I started to play and like got good at Halo Reach. Me and all my friends did. So like we were like, it was like four or five of us that were like, we were competing in local tournaments back in the day when you could go on game battles. We used to go in game battles and like do MLG, actual like MLG clan battles. And yeah, I mean that was, you know, that was pretty much that. And that was the game for me that really kept me kind of like, yeah, you know. Halo Reach was the one I loved the most. Like, I love 90% of the maps in Halo Reach. I love, I just like the gunplay in Halo Reach. I like every, I love Halo Reach. So, like, as soon as the Halo Reach came out, I was like, oh, yes, this is happening, boys.
All right. Yeah, see, my first introduction to Halo was when I lived in Texas. My girlfriend at the time and her dad were huge into Halo. Now they had this thing set up where their family was kind of big into it, but it was mainly her and her dad. So they had it set up where they had one Xbox in like the living room on a TV, and then they had another Xbox in a bedroom set up on a projector that would project it onto the wall. So that way they could do battles against each other and not have to worry about like one person looking at the other person's TV yep. screen or whatever. And my very first time playing there, I was put on her dad's team. And he tried to warn me. He's like, you know, watch out. She's a sniper. She's real good with the sniper rifle. And I was just like, all right. So we're playing a match, right? And I mean, I found a sniper rifle and I was like, all right. So we're playing and I probably sniped her at least a dozen times at that match. And so they all thought I was lying about never having played Halo before. I was like, nah, I swear, this is my first time ever playing this game. And then Halo 3 came out or whatnot, and we started playing Halo 3 pretty often. And we had a good little click going with a group of online friends that we play Halo 3 with. My big thing in Halo 3, I always was the driver of the Warthog.
Nice.
I don't know what it was. I was just really good at driving. If I wasn't in a Warthog, like if I didn't have a gunner in the Warthog, I would always be in a Ghost and just running, mowing people down, just running them over. Like, I got into some crazy places with the Ghost.
Nothing wrong with that.
So yeah, but no, those I'd have to say 3 was probably my favorite. That was also the last one that I played. I've only played Halo 2 and 3, so. I don't think I ever played the original Halo. I've always wanted to play through like the story mode, but no one ever wanted to play story mode with me. So I always had to play solo and then I just got bored with it. So but anyway, all right. Moving on. This week's episode, Devin. I finally watched it. Stephen King movie. It's the first one of the month of Stephen King December. You had me watch The Running Man.
Yup.
This fucking movie
was amazing.
Well, it was something. I will say MVP, best character hands down in the entire movie, Agnes.
Agnes is amazing.
Agnes, from the crowd, she's like, next kill, Ben Richards. He's one mean motherfucker. Ooh, Agnes, calm down. All right, so The Running Man, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of this movie is he was a military person in the quote-unquote future, which it took place in 2017. He disobeyed a direct order to fire upon some unarmed, helpless civilians. He was then thrown into like a prison camp, like work camp thing, in which through some fantastic fight scenes, they escaped, him and two friends. And then he was on the run. He was caught and then thrown into this video, game show, I guess. Now, we want to talk about sadistic game shows, man. The whole premise of this game show, and they didn't really even explain it, is the runner has to run through all four quadrants and essentially make it to the end before being killed by a stalker. Right? And that is the stalker's job, is to kill these people. Correct? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
So, the game show host guy fucked over Arnold, said, because Arnold essentially says he'll be the runner on the show as long as they let his other two friends go. But not only was Arnold a runner, they made the two friends runners, so now there's three of them. And then there was a chick who turned him in at the airport who ended up getting tossed in because she felt bad and started stealing stuff, so she got tossed in as a runner. And then all these fucking stalkers come. And these stalkers are cheesy, cheesy 80s, like, fucking reject horror film fucking villains. Like, I don't even know. Out of all the Stalkers, which one's your favorite, Devin?
Probably the fat singing guy.
Dynamo or whatever his
Dynamo,
name was.
Dynamo.
Dude,
Dynamo.
He was my least favorite.
He was my favorite because he was your least favorite.
Electric Light Bright over here. That's what his suit looked like. It reminded me of that Light Bright bullshit that we used to have as a kid where you can make the pictures and then they light up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, fuck that guy. Opera singing. He had this fucking little ass car, like the Doom Buggy that he sat in where his head popped out the top. No, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy so hard.
You love that guy.
No, I don't. I think, honestly, I think my favorite was Sub-Zero, the hockey guy. Mainly because in the credits, he's a professor. It's Professor Something. Played Sub-Zero. I will say this movie was just... What's the running time for this movie? Like an hour and a half, I'll say, without actually looking it up.
I think it's like an hour and 43 minutes or some shit like that.
Yeah, so this movie was essentially an hour and 40 minutes of zingy one-liners from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They're amazing.
They were horrible, horrible classic one-liners.
Arnold, like from 80s, 90s, classic. Like, come on, classic.
They were... I will say he did do the patented I'll be back line.
He did.
This movie was made after Terminator, right? I'm guessing.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Was Terminator the first movie he did the I'll be back in?
I'm not sure.
And then that just kind of became his catchphrase.
Terminator came out. Why are you giving me Terminator 2 Judgment Day? Well, actually, that's when he said it, actually.
He said it in the first one.
I thought he said it in the second one. Or did he say it again in the second one?
No, he said it in the first one in the police station.
You're right. So with that being said, let's see. Terminator, he said in the first one. That came out 84. The Running Man came out in 87, so he came out 3 years before. Yep.
Okay, so Terminator was the first one.
Terminator, Running Man, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
It's pretty much how that went down.
So ever since Terminator, that's been kind of Arnold's catchphrase is the I'll be back. For those of you who have not seen this movie, you need to. I will say that. You have to. I will say the movie to me did not age well. I think it would. I don't know if they've remade it. Have they remade The Running Man? Do you know?
No.
They haven't? I think it's worth remaking. I think it's a decent plot, I guess. But for those of you who have seen the original Running Man, Devin, my favorite part of this movie is those awesome orange nets. Those fucking nets are supposed to catch a metal bobsled, essentially, that's going God knows how fast, and they stop them on a dime. And these are like just like the plastic safety orange nets that you would get on like road construction. I want to know what these are made of in 2017, in the future. Downtown future Los Angeles. It's like made out of like tight, like flexible titanium or something.
Something like that.
The movie was horrible. I don't even know. Like it was entertaining. Now, okay. The thing is, it was entertaining. It was funny even at times. It did not age well. And you know me, I don't like puns. And that was, Arnold was just a pun. He was a walking pun machine in this movie. To be fair, I think Arnold's a walking pun machine in most of his movies. Maybe I don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know anymore.
Loved it. Don't lie.
Long story short, spoiler alert, Arnold survives, and they end up, like, the resistance wins, They end up shutting down this TV show, and they send the host down the bobsled tube, and there's no orange net at the bottom to stop him, so he just goes flying off in through like a billboard. Buzzsaw got cut in half through his crotch, and he apparently had chainsaws that could cut through anything, like including steel I-beams and shit.
Yep.
I just tried not to ask too many questions while watching this with you, because none of this made sense.
It was an 80s movie. It was an 80s movie.
I get it. So, with that being said, I give this movie, having seen it now and not seeing, this is not my, like, childhood version of me rating this movie, because, like, there are a lot of movies that just have not aged well, but I still love them dearly because they were staples in my childhood. I'm watching this for the first time. To me, the movie did not age well. I'm going to give this movie, like, I'm gonna mid-card it at like a 5 out of 10. But I'm going to preface that 5 out of 10 with, it is a must-see. I do recommend people to watch this if you haven't. And I do think it might be decent if it's remade. That's how I'm going to rate this movie, essentially. So, Devin, you had seen this movie previous to us watching it, obviously, right?
Yes.
Now, how long ago are we talking that you watched this? Like, is this something like you've watched this when you were a kid?
I've watched this quite a few times. I've seen it quite a few times.
All right, so tell those, what are some of your favorite scenes in this movie that really make this movie,
I just like the movie. I don't know if I have a favorite scene per se in the movie. I do like the whole
what about the movie stands out?
What stands out to me, I just think it's kind of just a I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, it's just a movie I find enjoyable. Like, it's not, I can't point to one thing we'd be like, I find this enjoyable because of this. I just find the movie enjoyable. But if I had to say one thing like that really I enjoyed was having, like, you know, the whole like Price is Right Gladiator edition.
I did find that kind of humorous. Was like, oh, here on the screen, here's, you know, blah, blah, so-and-so fighting somebody with a chainsaw, and while they're doing that, you win a prize, and here's your home edition of The Running Man, like, board game. It's like, what the fuck, people? What is this?
Yep.
And that is a perfect iconic view of, like, 80s game shows, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they even had the host of The Price is Right on there. He was the main villain. Wasn't it?
Not The Price is Right.
Sorry. Family Feud.
Family Feud. Yep.
That's what I want to say. My bad.
Now, are we in agreement that the best character in the movie was Agnes?
Yes. Agnes was the best character.
She was not in the movie for very long, but she was hands down the most ornery character.
She was the best character. Like, yes. She wasn't there for long, but she was by far the best character. Let's be real here.
So let's go through a couple of the stalkers real quick. I know we just kind of mentioned them. So Sub-Zero was your first one. So he was essentially a giant, what was he, like, Japanese guy or like a Korean dude?
Yep, pretty much.
He was a big, big guy in a hockey outfit, ice skating around with a hockey stick that had razors on the edge, or it was sharpened to the point where he cut a gong in half, but yet when he hit like the wooden board that you would check somebody into, it stopped the hockey stick. I don't know, but he cut a fucking gong in half. I just don't get the movie sometimes. So that was Sub-Zero.
I'll question it.
After Sub-Zero, they sent in Buzzsaw and Dynamo as a pair, I believe. So Buzzsaw pretty much rode around on a dirt bike and just had chainsaws hanging off of him. Like, he had more than one chainsaw. And he only ever used the one, but he had, like, a couple chainsaws hanging off of him that could essentially cut through anything. And then there was Dynamo, who was just this fat, light, bright guy in a small-ass car who had, like arc, like, he could just shoot arcs of electricity. And, like, he could, like, lessen the power. So if he's only using it to tase you, it was yellow. But if he's using it to actually do inflict the damage, it was blue. I caught on to that. Because he tased that chick, and it was, like, yellow lightning instead of blue. So after those two, then they sent in... what was his name? Fireball? Or... I forget the fire guy's name.
I think it was just Fireball. Fire something.
Yeah. In any case, this guy had a jetpack and essentially his backpack was a fuel backpack full of, you know, whatever, because he had a flamethrower and his suit was flame retardant so he could walk through fire. He ended up getting blown up. If you can't tell, or if you didn't see that one coming. After him, they were going to send in... Oh, fucking, what's Jesse Ventura's name in this movie? There's, like, Captain Thunder or something like that, or... I don't remember. He played some military dude. And he came barging into, like, the control room, and it looked like he was wearing a microwave. But he essentially told them to go fuck themselves, and he wasn't going to do it because this game lost their pizzazz. He was essentially the champion stalker that was coming out of retirement to deal with Arnold's character. So instead, they fabricated a fight scene between Captain Thunder or whatever and Arnold and the girl. And then that's what they showed the audience. But then that's during that time is when Arnold was essentially meeting with the underground people and giving them the codes to take control of some satellite so they could, like, control the network. And then they busted in on the network with guns. It was insane. And it happened really fast. I will say for a game show all about running... They didn't really run a whole lot. There was some running. They did more shuffling than anything. Yeah. Anyway. Now, okay, I have a unique, well, not unique, but I have a question for you, Devin.
Mm-hmm.
The Running Man. This type of movie. What would you compare, if you had to name another movie to compare this to, what would you say?
There's a couple of movies, like, I'm trying to think.
Cause like, this was kind of like the Hunger Games ish. You know,
kind of, yeah.
Maybe even, see, I kept thinking of that movie with Steve Austin where they're on like an island, that like that Battle Royale movie, but it's not really like that. I don't know. I don't know how I would describe this movie to somebody who hasn't seen it. Like if I was trying to like compare it to another movie. For reference sake.
I mean, it kind of is like Condemned or kind of like Rollerball.
Condemned, that's the one I was talking about.
Kind of like Condemned or kind of like Rollerball.
Rollerball, is that the one with fucking... Wait, was LL Cool J in that?
That was the remake of it, but yeah.
Oh. Yeah, like that was like the roller derby, like the deadly roller derby or whatever, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I do have a question that was given to us on our Discord server by Jewel Hernandez. So, The Running Man. Would you remake this movie and or watch a remake of this movie? And if so, who would you have star in it for the various roles? So for this, I'm going to open up IMDb real quick. I, for one, yes. Hands down, I think this movie should be remade if it hasn't already. I don't think it has. Devin says it hasn't. Devin, do you think they should remake this movie? Or if they did, yeah, would you watch it?
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Okay. Now, in the role of Ben Richards, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, who would you see playing that role in a remake of this movie?
Who would I see playing that role in a remake of this movie?
Oh, I already have mine. Because remember, they went after Ben Richards because he looked like a big, imposing guy. And that's what that host guy wanted.
My
pick, Dave Bautista.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, he's a pretty big, imposing dude. I could see him playing that military role.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. He would work. I'd say maybe Tom Hardy, just depending on how they wanted to make it. Tom Hardy would be good too, in my opinion. Okay,
yeah, I could see that. What about the dude from Rampage that had to fight the giant wolf? I know I'm referencing him from Rampage, which I know is your favorite of all movies.
Joe.
Joe Manganiello or whatever.
Nah. He's good, but nah. I don't need him in this.
Okay. So your vote would be Tom Hardy. I vote Dave Bautista. Now, what about Amber Mendez, who is the lady who is Arnold's love interest in this movie, who turns him in at the airport and then eventually feels bad about it and gets thrown into the Running Man contest.
I mean, honestly, I would go with, like, Sofia Vergara, because I laugh instead of watching it. I'm like, she's like a low-budget Sofia Vergara.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. So I'm in agreement with you on that one. What about his Ben Richards friend, William Laughlin? Which I believe what you said was like the low budget Samuel L. Jackson's of his time.
Yeah, that's what I said. But I mean, yeah. I did. That was like Samuel Jackson back in the day, though. It's really him now.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's back in the day, Samuel.
So who would you cast as William Laughlin? Knowing his role, he has kind of a sidekick, sideline type of role. So you don't want to necessarily throw in that A-list actor there, because he's not going to get too much screen time, I don't feel.
Do you ever watch Nikita on, what's it called?
I have not, but it is on my to-watch list. I think I've seen
it. First off, you totally should watch it, by the way.
Okay.
But I would say the guy that played Burkov would be my pick.
Okay. Do you have a picture of him?
Because
this would not be an SU episode without Devin sending me a visual aid. Ow. That hurt real bad.
He was in something else too. He was in 12 Monkeys.
Oh man, it's been a while since I've seen 12 Monkeys.
What was the guy's name? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to get a picture here. Give me a second.
You know who I think they should, who I would pick for this role? Is the brother in Lucifer.
Oh, you mean for the black guy? I thought you were talking about the other guy, like the smart guy.
No, Laughlin is the, William Laughlin is the black guy.
Yeah. Okay, then yeah. If you're going for the black guy, then yeah, 100%, I would say. 100%. Yeah, that works for me. That or the guy that played Mac in, what do you call it?
In Predator?
No, Mac in, that we like, Shotgun X guy.
Oh, yeah, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, man, yeah, I'd like to see him in more shit. So, yeah, you got me. I switched my vote to Mac. You got me, because I want to see him in more stuff. All right, now, okay, let's flip that into, okay, the next character would be Harold Weiss, who is the nerdy guy. He was Arnold. He was
that would be the guy I take for Ben's for other Berkoff. I just need a second here.
Nerdy white guy.
Why can I not get his name? Why can I not get his freaking name?
I'd go with no, he doesn't really look too nerdy, but I like the actor. Also from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Tomorrow People.
Aaron Stanford. There we go. That's the guy I was looking for.
And this is who you'd choose for the nerdy guy?
Yeah. Aaron Stanford. That's the guy I was thinking of, and I couldn't.
You got a picture incoming?
I do in 2 seconds here.
Nerdy white guy role.
General. Go.
Okay. I'd like, you know what? Sticking with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. theme, I'd like the nerdy scientist on that show. He's already playing a nerd.
Yeah, actually, he would work too. Fitz, the guy played Fitz.
Yeah, Fitz. I think he would. I think he would pull off that role pretty well.
Fair.
So now for some of the those are pretty much the runners that we had. So the only other people I want to try to recast now is who would you get as the host of the show?
I would go with Craig Ferguson in a really weird pick.
You know what? I'm going to stick with the Family Feud theme and go with Steve Harvey. Isn't he the current host of the Family Feud?
He is the current host of Family Feud.
So you know we what? Can let's go, go with him. Let's go from the
Jim
original.
Carrey from The Price is Right. Let's go Jim Carrey from The Price is Right.
Oh, shit. Not only did he do The Price is Right, but he did the Look Who's Laughing Now or whatever, right? Yep. What was that other show that he did?
Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Line Is It Anyway? So I mean, yeah, he.
You know who actually make a pretty good host in that though? I'm not gonna lie, Wayne Brady would. The guy's super talented. Did everything.
Oh, that's
he does,
true. Right? Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't feel like Jim Carrey could pull off Sinister. Like,
no,
I
don't think so either.
Think he could pull off Sinister? Like, I'm evil.
Do you think Wayne Brady could?
I think he could. I mean, he's pretty versatile.
I don't know. Like, I have a hard time picturing Wayne Brady. Like, I picture him doing like the playing up to the crowd portion of this movie, but like, I have a hard time picturing him like being like the serious dude behind the scenes. Like the whole, if that guy's still mopping the floor tomorrow, you're going to be mopping the floor for the rest of the week kind of guy.
Yeah, I got you. I don't know. I think he can.
I'd like to give him a shot. How's that? We're going to cast Wayne Brady in this role.
Okay.
I'd like to see his repertoire here. So we got Wayne Brady as our host. So now we just have to go through, and I'm going to name off some of the stalkers, and we're just going to recast the stalkers, and that'll essentially be the end of our episode here. So the first stalker we're going to do is Sub-Zero, played by Professor Toru Tanaka. So who would we get to play Sub-Zero, Devin? What other movie was this guy in? This guy was in a lot of movies. I thought he was in, like, the Three Ninjas movies. He might have been.
He may have been. It's possible.
No, Three Ninjas was not that old. So if he was, it would have been up here. Oh, he was in Three Ninjas. He was Rushmore. Okay. And he was in Last Action Hero as billed as Tough Asian Man.
Okay.
So who are we going to recast as this guy for Sub-Zero? I mean, he has like a wrestling demeanor about him. You know, honestly, I'd probably go with like if there are any current wrestlers, like were they the Usos or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
If there's any of them, I'd probably cast as this role. I don't know. I think Sub-Zero is the hardest one for me to cast in this. God damn it. Who would you pick?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, actually.
Just one of the, yeah, like, yeah, because I can't think of too many, like, people that would fit that role. You know what? I would even go, like, let's get rid of the whole Asian thing. And let's just get, like, a really large, like, largely built Canadian. Let's stick it right to the stereotype, because he's a hockey stalker. He's dressed all in hockey pads, and hockey's real big in Canada.
Down with that.
So we're just going to get a real big Canadian.
Down with it.
And then every time he hits them, he can just apologize and then continue hitting them. I'm going to dive right into that stereotype. Fuck it. Let's see. This one, and this one. So we got four more left to bill. Who would you get to play Buzzsaw, the chainsaw dude?
You know what? Bruce Campbell.
Let's do it. He's iconic with a chainsaw anyway.
Exactly.
People will know him.
And the movie's ridiculous without being ridiculous. Bruce Campbell's perfect.
Yep, I love
it. He was made for this role.
I love it. You know what? You get plus 100 DKP.
All right, I'm in. Sold.
All right. I'm going to hate asking this question. Who are we getting as Dynamo? Because fuck this light bright guy. If it was up to me, he'd be out of the movie.
Is he still alive? Hold on. Is this guy still alive?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Are you going to just recast him?
No. I choose Butterbean.
You choose Butterbean?
Yep.
Man. Oh, man, the guy who played Dynamo is not alive anymore either.
That's unfortunate.
He died in 1987.
That's unfortunate, but I pick Butterbean.
But Butterbean, I don't think Butterbean has, like, that opera voice. Oh, that can be dubbed in.
we can just not have that opera voice be a thing.
No, but that was the whole thing with Dynamo, was he was like that opera fucking lightning guy.
We're fine.
You know who else might do it? Is remember the bullies or whatever from those old Nickelodeon shows? There's always like the bigger guy. I don't remember names. Have you ever seen the movie Evolution with the aliens?
Mm-hmm.
They were the two dumb students. He was one of them. Or the bully from Boy Meets World would be another good one. Which I think I recently saw him in something too. I don't know. That'd be my pick. Although no, this guy was big, like tall too. So yeah, Butterbean might be a good pick. How tall is Butterbean? He a tall boy?
Relatively.
All right. So your pick is Butterbean. Mine is the bully from Boy Meets World. Two very, very opposite ends of the spectrum on that one, I guess. Fireball. Who would you get as the Fireball guy?
Go Jamie Foxx.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba? Okay, that works too. I'm down with Idris Elba.
Yeah. I think the whole... Because the Fireball guy seemed to be like the most stalkerish. Like he was kind of slow and methodical with his stalking. As opposed to like driving by in like a dirt bike. Idris Elba just seems to me like that slow methodical stalker. He could pull that off really well. And then the last stalker we have to talk about is Jesse Ventura's character, Captain Freedom, is what it was, not Thunder. Captain Freedom with a full head of hair. You know who I would pick for this role?
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got to make a cameo somewhere.
True.
I don't know. I think he'd make a pretty good Captain Freedom. You know, because, I mean, Captain Freedom ultimately chose not to participate anyway. And he was a reigning champ. So... That's my pick. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a cameo role for one of the stalkers that doesn't really do anything. I do have one more surprise recast for you, Devin. Who would you cast as Agnes?
Who would I cast as Agnes?
I already got mine.
Who would you?
Fucking Betty White.
I'm down with that.
Hell yeah. Unless the lady who played Agnes is still kicking. Because then let's just bring her back.
I doubt she's still kicking.
Probably not. But Betty White is. So... Yeah, so I mean that's our main recasting of the Running Man. Highly recommend it. It got 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb. It is an hour and 41 minutes long, so you were pretty spot on with the hour and 40 minute thing. I gave it a 5 out of 10, so I mean I was being nice. I wasn't too far behind the IMDb rating of it. What would you give it out of a 10 if this is like one of your more liked movies?
What would I give it out of a 10?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I gave it a 5. IMDb gives it a 6.7.
I give it about a 6, a 6, 7. Yeah, 6 or 7. That all sounds right. fair.
All right. And obviously you would recommend this movie to other people.
Yes.
I would too. So now I have a question. Okay, so that was essentially our breakdown and our talk about Running Man. It was my first time seeing it. Now, I will preface most of the movies that we are watching this month for Stephen King month, I have not seen. The one exception is the last week of December. You and I are going to sit down and we're going to watch the original It and then the It remake, and we're going to do like a comparison of the two. I have seen the original It, but I have not seen the remake. But next week, Devin, what was our choice for next week's movie for Stephen King December?
The Langoliers.
The Langoliers. Now, can you give us, without giving away too much description or without ruining anything, in your own words, can you give me, because I have not seen it, and the listeners, a little snippet of what, you know, of what this movie is about. Give me a little teaser taste of what I can expect when we sit down to watch this movie.
All right. Well, first off, it's a miniseries. So if you want to watch it out there, it's 2 episodes, each movie length. So you're looking at about 3 hours.
Okay.
To watch this for 3.5 hours. In fact, all these movies are long as shit.
So when are me and you sitting down and watching these together, yes, like we have the last couple?
Because I really want to hear your or see your reaction to this. Because this is good. And give you an idea, if I'm not mistaken, this was originally made for, came on Sci-Fi back in the day.
Okay.
This is a made for sci-fi movie. So now keep that in mind.
Now, my next question is, are me and you going to watch both parts at the same time, just back to back, and get it done and over with? Or are we
I'm down with that. Like, I would love to, obviously, with this weekend, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Unless you feel up to it after the stream on Sunday.
Okay.
I don't have a mandatory meeting on Monday anymore, so I could take a Monday off, because I was going to take Monday off anyway. Originally,
I'm off Monday.
Okay, so this is what we can do. I was going to take Monday off originally so I can recoup, but they were like, oh, mandatory work meeting, you have to be there. And I'm like, fuck. But then they just canceled that today. So,
okay,
may take Monday off, and we can literally just watch both and go right into that SU right after that.
Sounds good to me. So we will do this Monday. We'll do this next episode Monday. So in your own words, give me and the listeners a little teaser of essentially what is this Langoliers movie about? What is a Langolier? Like, what is this movie about?
A ragtag group of random passengers on a jet airline fall asleep and wake up in what appears to be an alternate reality, and they're stuck at an airport.
Okay.
With seemingly nobody in sight. It has terrible 90s special effects.
Okay, I love it.
Terrible, terrible 90s CGI. Has a heartwarming yet super annoying blind girl. And is just generally... I have a hard time calling this movie good.
Stephen King really liked getting people stranded in places, huh?
He did. I have a hard time saying the movie's good, but it is entertaining, if nothing else.
Okay.
I will say that. It is entertaining. I enjoy it just because I haven't seen it in about 3 or 4 years. I usually try to, probably longer than that, about 5 or 6 years. I used to watch this movie probably once or twice a year. Okay. I really enjoyed it. My favorite of all the ones that we're going to watch is going to be the next one we watch after Langoliers is Rose Red.
Okay.
That's my favorite out of all of these, including It. Like, I enjoy It a lot, don't get me wrong, but, well, the new It's are kind of cool, but they're more like movies. The other ones were like made for TV miniseries. So out of the miniseries we're watching, I would say Rose Red is my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, because think about it. Like, you said the Langoliers, they're stuck in an airport.
Yep.
The Shining, they were stuck in a motel or in a hotel.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because you have to think about it like this, right? Like, it's kind of not existential, but it's kind of like, you know, having that horror of you can start doing stuff like, you know, they're alone. So, you know, they're alone. All they have to do is up. And then you slowly start to realize that kind of what happens in this too. They slowly start to realize stuff's off. And you think about like in a real life situation, if you were to like, let's say you showed up at work every day, right?
Right.
You drove into work, same, you know, same routine every day. You drove into work. But one day you got to work, cars are outside, you walk in the building, there's nobody in the building.
That'd be fucked up. You know,
there's nobody there. You try to leave, you can't leave. Or like you try to leave like the premises of your building, of like your work, you can't leave. And you're just there by yourself. Or and immediately that's terrifying. But if you don't realize that, like you just walk in like, huh, maybe they're on a meeting or something, whatever. And you go kick up at your desk for a couple hours, and then you start to realize, like, well, I haven't seen anybody today. And you start walking around the place and you're like, there's nobody fucking here. Their cars are outside. There's nobody fucking here. Mm. And then you start walking around and then you're like, you know, something's off. Like, you know, the lights keep flickering or you're walking down the hallway or something. And it's like, I feel like this hallway's taking forever to get down. You know, like, I feel like I've been walking this same hallway for like 10 minutes. I swear it's like not that long of a hallway.
Right.
And at first it starts to like minorly, like takes you an extra minute or two to like get from one place to another and like slowly fucks with your brain. And then you realize it. And then you try like running down the hallway and it gets like longer and longer and longer. Shit like that. Like, I mean, so straining someone somewhere allows you to like in a place that's both familiar and then slowly adding on the aspects of things not being familiar or adding on the aspects of the strange makes it that much more terrifying because now you're taking somebody out of their place of comfort or somebody out of a place that they should know. Like you're in an airport. You know how airports work. There should be people everywhere in airports. There should be, you know,
right.
A relative layout you follow, right? Well, if slowly those things start changing, like you're at an airport, you're like your flight's delayed. And then like after 3 or 4 hours, you know, you pass out. Usually you fall asleep. Your flight's delayed. There's a bunch of people. You wake up and the airport's dead silent. There's nobody there. You're like, okay. Pick up the phones. Phones don't work. You know, you're taking somebody in a situation where they should know all the variables. Or at least in their head, they know all the variables and make it blatantly obvious that they don't.
Right. But see, like, know, that not even
adds to the horror.
But like, not even all of these Stephen King movies, like the ones where he has them essentially trapped in places, they're not always like mind, like
They're not always like mind fucked. You're right. Yeah. But they are. Like,
let's see.
You start to create your own narrative. Though.
Like The Shining, they're stuck in the hotel. Then he slowly went insane.
Right. He slowly went insane. Or, you know, depending on where you're getting your story, if you're reading the book, it was actually haunted. It was ghost fucking with him.
Right.
If you're warned by the movie, it was more so less like he slowly started going insane from the isolation.
So the Langoliers, they're stuck in an airport.
Yes.
Cujo. I believe the person's stuck in a car for the better part of the movie. Because doesn't Cujo, like, surround the car?
I believe at one point Cujo does.
Yeah.
God, now with Rollerball.
The best Stephen King movie ever made, Maximum Overdrive, they're stuck at a gas station.
That's... He didn't make Tremors, but Tremors was also that way. Tremors is a great movie.
Tremors, they were stuck on a rock. Like outside,
they were stuck in a diner
on the back of a pickup truck. Like, yeah,
I love Tremors though. Tremors is great,
dude. Me too. We should watch. I want to rewatch Tremors now,
dude. And I love the one guy, like the hoarder guy, or like the prepper guy. He just kept fucking rolling with those movies.
Yep.
I think he's still making those fucking movies.
Probably.
I'm kidding. They had a Tremors TV show in 2003. So this film was the first installment of the Tremors franchise. Oh, and was followed by four direct-to-video sequels: Tremors 2, Aftershock, Tremor, which I watched. I like Tremors 1 and Tremors 2 are actually pretty good. Tremors 3, Back to Perfection, Tremors 5. Okay, Tremors 4, The Legend Begins, Tremors 5, Bloodlines,
the first Tremors,
A Cold Day in Hell.
The first Tremors had...
That has Jamie Kennedy?
The first Tremors had Kevin Bacon in it, right?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Michael Gross. Michael Gross, man, that guy. Yeah. He was. I think he was in all of them. Was he in every? I think he was in every Tremors. Let's see, Tremors. Bert. Yeah, good old Bert. He was in every Tremors. He was in Tremors 1, Tremors 2, Tremors 3, Tremors 4, and Tremors 5, Tremors 6, and he's going to be in Tremors Island Fury in coming out in 2020, which is currently filming. This guy has his ran with the franchise, and you know what? I don't blame you.
I don't. No, me neither. Hey, you know what? And he survived all of these Tremors so far.
He did.
He must, at this point, he must be like...
He is 72 in real life.
Dude, at this point in Tremors...
Graduated from Yale.
In the next Tremors movie, at this point, his character just must be like, the second it happens, it's like, guys, I know what to do. I know what's happening here. Don't worry, I've survived this before.
I haven't seen the other Tremors. I'm pretty sure like they're going to start to like... I'm pretty sure they start ramping the Tremors up. Yeah. This is the first... It's the interesting series made without participation of Stampede Entertainment. The production company formed a brand new integrated series. Universal chosen instead to maintain all creative control. The film received mixed reaction from critics, but received more positive reviews from the fans of the franchise. Apparently, Tremors 5 wasn't that bad. I may have to watch Tremors 5. In A Cold Day in Hell. Oh, it's on Netflix currently.
I'm trying to see, because this guy looks familiar, not just from Tremors movie, but he was in a TV movie called A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
I'm down. But yeah, no, the Langoliers, Becky Langoliers, I think if you want to watch it, I will say this, people, you don't have to watch the Langoliers. It's not something you need to see in your life. But I think it's totally worth seeing. I enjoy it.
But you told me it's something I had to see in my life.
Yes.
But the listeners don't have to see it? No, I don't agree. Listeners, you have to see this movie. In fact, you should go watch it before we do SUs for next week. So watch it between now and next week.
Also, too, Friday, if you're coming out, come out to our stream. All day stream Saturday and Sunday.
Hell yeah, starting tomorrow at noon on twitch.tv/distractionsmedia.
And you can find us all over. So you can find me streaming some Halo at some point. Probably not then, but probably Monday or late Sunday or whatever. You'll find me. I'll be around.
Yep. I recently started streaming, and I streamed a little bit of Diablo. By a little bit, I think my stream was like 3.5 hours long. Only had a couple people show up, but that's fine. Yeah, it was pretty much
you. I was there in the game and in the stream.
It was pretty much you and John. But I'll probably be streaming a little bit more Diablo. I still have the same character. I play on hardcore, so that's an achievement in itself.
Yep, and I will probably be joining him playing at some point or another, because I usually do.
When I can pull him away from Halo, because he did send us the message saying that...
I did send the message specifically telling them, like, yo, hey guys, I love all of you.
But y'all ain't gonna reach me for a while.
If you need me, just drop a line.
It was essentially the same message I sent you when WoW Classic came out. So...
I mean, I was like, if I had more time, I was gonna actually like drop, like, I was gonna drop like a greeting card in the mail and be like, "Yo, look, the time we spent together was something I treasure."
Nice. So yeah, for sure, everybody, come out to our stream tomorrow. If you can donate, great. It's for a great cause. We're donating for Extra Life, or raising money for Extra Life, which is raising money for the Children's Miracle Network. I specifically am raising money for the Boston Children's Hospital. So if you can donate, fantastic. If you can't, that's fine. Come and show your support.
Yep.
Join just our stream and just hang out.
Donate your time. Donate your time. If you can't donate monetarily, donate your time.
Yep.
I always, you know, they always say, you know, hey, share it on Facebook, do this. Like, that's fine, but I don't like seeing those people all the time on Facebook who are always like, hey, here's something you can give money to.
Right.
It's almost 2020. People don't listen to that too often. But what's this? Donate your time. Because if you donate your time, we get the more people we get watching our stream, it's going to move us up the ratings. And then people who will come in and who can donate money or drop will come in and you know, see us. We'll be at the top of the Twitch page. People will be cheering. Babies will be smiling. Nobody really knows why. But.
And that, and you know what? Word of mouth. You know, if each of you listeners gets one other person to come watch our stream, and you tell them to get one other person to try to watch our stream, that's fantastic. Do that.
Also known as WOM.
I don't know what WOM. That means.
WOM, word of mouth. WOM.
Oh, okay. WOM. Yeah.
It's now WOM.
Let's WOM the shit out of our stream this weekend, people. Okay.
Made that up the spot. WOM. We're going. WOM everything.
When the stream comes along, you must WOM it.
If SU sends
that sounds
you to
like
the stream,
somebody with a speech impediment trying to say you must vomit. God damn
listen,
it. You must WOM
when you
it.
When you show up in the chat on the stream, I want to see nothing but WOM in chat. I want to see WOMs.
Yep.
I want to see WOMs
hear,
in the chat.
Yep. Hashtag SU, hashtag WOM.
Yep.
Okay.
Just WOMs in the chat. Just drop a bunch of WOMs in that.
Devin brings up a good point. Anybody who puts hashtag SU, hashtag WOM in the chat on our stream, we know you've listened to this episode. So, there we go.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, with that being said, I just scratched my beard, and I'm sure you all heard that.
Beard scratches.
Let's do this week's... I forget what we call this now. See that? I've replaced you for 1 week, Devin, and I already forget. It's not the moment of Zen anymore. It's
Life Coaching with Devin?
Life Coaching with Devin.
I'm going to read you a fortune cookie thing that I got because it had me fucked up yesterday. So I'm going to share this beautiful advice with all of you. Ready? Now, Webby, I don't know what this fortune cookie is trying to tell me, but maybe you listeners can help me out. You can write in and tell me this. Ready? Here we go. Money is the root of all evil, and man needs roots. That's what the fuck my fortune cookie said to me.
Wow.
I'm like, what? What is this? What is this?
Man needs to be evil.
Yeah, that's what it's telling me. Like, what are you trying to tell me, fortune cookie? Like, you need to tell me, like, yo, you need to be more evil in your life. You'll get rich.
You know who would know the answer to this question, Devin? The immortal billionaire person who owns an island that we made up.
You're right. He would.
I forgot, but I think he might have like a weird unibrow or something.
He does, in fact, have a weird unibrow.
There was something with his face that was off, I remember. Might have been
he has a weird unibrow.
Yeah.
Yep. He does for sure.
We still got to make him. We need to make him a character so I can put him as an NPC in
something.
A movie.
I don't know what. Just make him in Vamp. Just throw him in Vamp.
Okay, but me and you need to make him as a character then.
Yeah. I mean, he'll make sense in Vamp. I don't know what he would be, though.
Okay. Well, we'll figure
I feel like we do too many mages. Like, I want to do something different besides a mage.
Yeah, we'll custom make a thing. He'll just be a legit immortal.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, me and you will custom make something for him, and we'll talk to him in the Vamp game.
He may be a character that's actually stronger than Abraham.
Well,
he just walks around and goes, "Eh, I'm good." I mean, he's truly immortal. He can't be killed, and he has an army of dinosaurs.
Everything has a weakness and can die. But you are right. He has an army of fucking dinosaurs. So, I mean, he's got that going for him. Which brings me to another movie, Iron Sky. Have you ever seen Iron Sky?
I have seen Iron Sky.
Dude, apparently Iron Sky 2, there's Hitler in the center of the earth riding a T-Rex. I need to see this.
That sounds almost as ridiculous as Kung Fury.
Oh, I loved Kung Fury.
Another movie I made you watch.
God damn it. All right. Devin, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie and on Twitch at PooKilledMe. And if you have Halo Reach on PC and you want to join me in Halo Reach on PC, you can send me an invite at Kronos3092. That's CHRONOS3092.
Devin, I'm real sad.
Why?
What about all your loyal followers on eBay?
You're right. You guys can find me on eBay, as always, trying to sell Pokemon cards that I got out of a cereal box. It's cereal Pokemon. I'm there.
Cereal Pokemon. You sound like a murderer. I'm a cereal Pokemon. All right. As always, guys, you guys can follow me on Twitch. No, on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word. On Twitch at DM Webby. On Instagram at Patrick.Webster52. And on eBay at Amazon. That's it. following cereal Pokemon. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for downloading. Try to get us to Russia still. I'm still working on that. I'm working a couple angles myself. Come hang out at our stream. We love you guys. And as always, fuck Booster Gold.
Fuck Booster Gold.
Dan Cook, we're no longer dissing you, but still, if you want to come on SU, we'll explain ourselves. If you don't want to come on SU because you don't think we're popular enough, well, go fuck yourself.
Hey, Webby.